Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. I'm Blake Topmeyer with John Adams of the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, Josh Heupel is building his football coaching staff after his hire last week as Tennessee's coach. And as we record this on a Tuesday afternoon, Tennessee has not formally announced any staff hires for Josh Heupel. The general expectation at this juncture is that a lot of Heupel's offensive staff at UCF likely will be joining him at Tennessee, while the defensive staff, at least at this juncture, remains murky, a bit of a wild card. Of course, he inherited Kevin Steele. There's been no anointing of this to this point of Kevin Steele to defensive coordinator, and we're not sure whether there will be or whether Heupel will go in a different direction with that defensive staff. But offensively, likely to have a UCF flavor. And what that means, John, is that several of the inherited Jeremy Pruitt assistants are already on their way out, and a few more could be, including Kevin Steele, depending on how this staff shakeup winds up. What's your take on that, John? I mean, is this much to bat an eye about, the fact that Josh Heupel might not be keeping any Tennessee assistants that he inherited?
No, not at all. This is college football today. Most coaches, when they come in, they want their staff. They've got to win, and they want to feel comfortable about their chances of winning, and so they want to hire people that they're comfortable working with, in many cases have a track record with, in other cases come highly recommended, and maybe they can pay them more at Tennessee than they could at Central Florida. Yeah, this is just business as usual, and I think it bothers some Tennessee fans when the people leaving might be VFLs, those Vols for life. But Josh Heupel can't think about anything like that. He's just got to get the best staff he can.
Well, let's get into that a little bit more, John, because what you mentioned there, I think, is the hot button issue with Tennessee fans with any staff departures are those VFLs. There were three former Vols on Jeremy Pruitt's final staff when you include Kevin Steele. You had Jay Graham, you had T. Martin, and you had Kevin Steele hired in January. Now, Kevin Steele didn't really have a playing career at Tennessee, but he was on the roster for a couple years under Johnny Majors and then started his coaching career at Tennessee. And so Jay Graham has already moved on. He submitted his resignation and moved on to Nick Saban's staff at Alabama. Kevin Steele, we addressed him. He signed a two-year contract in January. And so Tennessee, if they decide not to keep Kevin Steele, would owe him $900,000 for about a month of work. And then T. Martin is really kind of the big one. He spent 2 years on staff as wide receivers coach. Of course, former national championship winning quarterback for Tennessee, beloved player, and his contract expired on January 31st. That was Sunday. And so as we stand right now, T. Martin is not employed by Tennessee's football coaching staff. He's no longer at this moment a Vols football assistant. What do you make of that, John? Is this a mistake for Heupel to not keep a beloved Vol like T. Martin on his staff? And what do you... what do you make of kind of the blowback that has started to surface here about the idea of T not being retained and not considered for the head coaching opportunity?
There have been some backlash from some former players. T was very popular here, not just with the fans, but with his teammates when he led Tennessee to the national championship. Really engaging guy. His legacy as a player is one of the best in UT history. He succeeded Peyton Manning. He wasn't nearly as good as Peyton Manning, of course. Few quarterbacks are. I mean, what distinguished him was his ability to find ways to win, and he did that in the undefeated season in 1998. So he's a part of Vol lore forevermore, just as Philip Fulmer was, a former coach who was a coach of the 1998 team. You look at tradition as a big part of Tennessee football, and that means something. But it doesn't mean everything. And Tennessee comes in with a new coaching staff, a new head coach, a new AD. They're in charge now, and they've got to do what's best for their program, for what they're doing. I don't think T's background really fits what Josh Heupel plans to do offensively. I would think he would want to include coaches on his staff that he can afford to pay who are familiar with this system. It's distinctly different than what Tennessee has been running under, ran under Jeremy Pruitt and offensive coordinator Jim Chaney. T. Martin was a wide receivers coach. So there may be no place for T. Martin. I know Jay Graham might not have the history that T. did at Tennessee as a player. He was a really good player, really good running back, but he wasn't a part of a national championship team. But I think he's a pretty good coach. I mean, he was at Texas A&M. Nick Saban hired him in Alabama, so he landed on his feet. Good for him. I don't know if T. will be that fortunate, but no, you can't think about those kind of things. You can't think about hurting feelings, hurting the feelings of fans, former players, whomever. You've got to just do what you think you need to do to win games, and there's just no place for sentimentality in that.
Yeah, I agree, John. I've received a lot of fan feedback regarding T. Martin, and I mean, I can understand it. Beloved player, as we talked about, the quarterback of the last national championship team, it makes sense why fans are, you know, hold T. Martin so highly. But the reality is that the qualifications for being on a football staff can't be that you were a former player here. I mean, if that was the case, you could have hundreds of assistant coaches whose qualifications were that they were a former player here. And I'm not saying that's T. Martin's only qualifications. He was offensive coordinator at USC, has been an assistant coach for several years now. And I think he will move on and continue in his coaching career if this is the end of things at Tennessee, and might one day become a head coach. And yet, Josh Heupel's reasoning for keeping T. Martin can't just be, well, he was a former player here. It doesn't make a lot of sense to make hires that way. And if you build your staff that way, that in no way ensures you for success. I mean, I think sometimes there's this belief of, well, if you played here, you'll be better fit for the staff, or you know the way things work, and gives the program a leg up. Well, I mean, look back to 2020, and Tennessee had an athletic director who was an alum and who was a coach here, and it had two assistants on staff, and Jay Graham and T. Martin, who were standout players here, and the team stunk. Meanwhile, how many TFLs did Alabama have on its coaching staff this year? How many tied for lifes were on Nick Saban's staff? I have no idea. I don't know that that's something they think about at Alabama because they're too busy winning national championships. I don't know if they had anybody on that staff that played at Alabama, and they don't care because they're worried about hiring the people that fit that staff and win championships. And nobody says at the end of the year, we need to load up on some more TFLs. Maybe tackles for loss, yes, but tied for life. I don't think that's a qualification that they consider, nor should it be. I don't think that's a factor that should be held against you. If you played or attended that school, sure, great, all the better. But I don't think that's a requirement that a new head coach needs to consider when filling out his staff. And that doesn't mean that T. Martin won't be a good fit for another staff somewhere else. And I'm sure he's got a long coaching career ahead of him, but I don't see why Josh Heupel should have to feel like he has to keep T on his staff because he was a standout player here.
No, Josh Heupel shouldn't even think about that, and nor should the new athletic director, Danny White. That shouldn't be their concern. That's a good point with Alabama. Nick Saban just hired Bill O'Brien as his offensive coordinator, recently fired from the Houston Texans of the NFL. He was a head coach. Hired Doug Marrone as an offensive line coach. He was recently fired as a head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Those guys aren't TFLs, are they? They're not tied for life, are they?
Do you think Alabama fans are complaining? Well, you know, I don't know if they understand how it is here. How it is in Alabama is how Nick Saban makes it. Alabama had great tradition long before Nick Saban came in there. And I don't remember him talking a lot about tied tradition. Talked a lot about building the program and the process that was involved. But it was a different era when he came in there. And some people were offended by it. He didn't cozy up to big boosters the way their previous coaches have, which is part of Alabama tradition. You go out and play some golf with the good old boys who've been giving big bucks to the program. That's not Nick Saban. He doesn't want to go speak to the Rotary Club very often and want to speak to any club very often. He's just trying to win games. He really changed Alabama's tradition. Now Alabama's tradition, all Alabama thinks about is winning. And you're right. I don't even know how many guys they have that played at Alabama on their staff. And I doubt any fan, not many fans know or care. When you think about it another way, it's almost as though when you're talking so much about tradition, you're also talking about the past. And Tennessee needs to be in the present and thinking about the future now. And yes, this could be a very significant change, both from a football standpoint and from an administrative one with Danny White, hard charging AD. He's going to shake things up. Tennessee needs to have things shaken up. Yeah, its tradition is great, but it's a losing program. That's its recent tradition. And these guys need to change that, and they need to change it in the best way they know how.
The optics of not retaining T. Martin, and Tennessee hasn't formally said that T. won't be part of this next staff, but his contract has expired, and as we sit here right now, that looks like the likely outcome is that T. will not be part of this next coaching staff. The optics of that are a little bit difficult because T. and Jay Graham were the only assistants who accepted the pay cuts that were requested of them by the athletic department in the fall. And so it was just T and Jay Graham. The eight other assistants declined. And then, you know, on top of that, there's a report from WNML that T. Martin had a verbal agreement to receive a contract extension from when Philip Fulmer was AD. So to me, if T. Martin has, you know, and none of this backlash, I don't know that, I mean, T. Martin's not out there saying anything. He did an interview with an Alabama radio station over the weekend, and I thought was very professional about the whole situation with Tennessee. But if there is anything, I think, for T to have a complaint about, really, I think it's with Philip Fulmer. I mean, Fulmer convinced him to take a pay cut. Most of the other assistants didn't. T did that for his university at a time of need. And then, according to this WNML report, T was led to believe that he was getting a contract extension from Philip Fulmer, and that did not come to fruition, and so now he's left without a contract. So to me, Philip Fulmer took care of Kevin Steele, right? Added Kevin Steele to staff less than a week before Jeremy Pruitt was hired, and now you got Kevin Steele sitting here with a two-year contract, and you're like, what do we do with this guy? There was no taking care of T. Martin while Philip Fulmer was in charge, and like you said, I don't see why that should then be Danny White and Josh Heupel's responsibility at this juncture.
I don't either. Everything's about contracts now. That's how you get buyouts. You're living up to your contract. And T. Martin, I mean, if Philip Fulmer just says that to him, he says, well, Philip, could you put that in writing for me? I mean, he doesn't contractually, Tennessee isn't obligated. Now, if Tennessee wants to be kind and honor tradition and honor that national championship team again, we'll give T. Martin some more money. It did that.
They gave Philip Fulmer money on the way out the door, right?
Sure did. And so if you're going to do that for Philip Fulmer, you can do it for T. Martin too. You won't be paying him, or will you? Philip got about $1 million. What would T. get, do you think?
Well, I don't know. They could start, I guess, by giving him back the salary that he volunteered to give up from the pay cut, when apparently the times are not so tough after all. They went out and made Danny White one of the top paid ADs in the country and signed Kevin Steele to a two-year contract worth $450,000 annually, and now are trying to decide whether they want to end that contract after 1 month. So I suppose they could start by giving T back the money that he gave up in his salary.
Well, maybe toss in that $900,000 that Kevin Steele's getting for a couple of months of work.
Yeah.
I mean, Tennessee seems to be rolling the dough right now. I just think if it were not T. Martin, it wouldn't really be a talking point. We wouldn't be doing this podcast. But again, you can't separate the two. You can't separate T. Martin, the national championship quarterback, from T. Martin, the wide receiver coach. And looking at T as an assistant coach, I didn't notice anything when he was at UT that made me think he's an exceptional assistant coach. Now, that's kind of hard to discern. So But in terms of recruiting or in terms of player development, I didn't see anything special going on there. What did you think?
I think his recruiting track record at USC was very strong, but in terms of the returns at Tennessee, I thought it left something to be desired. And then in terms of that wide receiver position, yeah, I mean, I thought that was a pretty average unit during the couple years under his watch. I mean, it is, I think, hard to sometimes evaluate position coaches because so much of that stems from the head coach and the coordinators on down. But certainly I didn't think you got so much production on the recruiting trail or as an assistant coach that you think this is someone that you have to keep on the staff of the next coach. And to me, this is just sort of the cautionary situation, the cautionary tale that comes from hiring a former player is, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, if you're a coach, you shouldn't hire former players to your staff. If you think they're the most qualified people for the job, you absolutely should do it. But the downside of that is if their tenure ends in a way that's not them getting promoted in a different role elsewhere, you know, if T. Martin would have left here to become a head coach somewhere, become a coordinator again somewhere, that would have been a success story that everybody would have been pleased with of hey, after T got fired at USC, he got hired at Tennessee, spent a couple years here, and then catapulted himself into a coordinator or head coach position. But the downside is if it ends, you know, in a parting of ways, this would not be a firing because T's contract just ran out, but it would be a parting of ways. You know, this is kind of some of the hard feelings that could come up there and some of the blowback from T's former teammates and just the uncomfortable feelings that some fans have about the idea of not retaining T. Martin. And Josh Heupel can kind of speak to this situation a little bit, right? Because he was a former Heisman Trophy runner-up quarterback at Oklahoma, longtime assistant under Bob Stoops. You know, I mean, Josh Heupel probably had a similar status at Oklahoma to what T. Martin has at Tennessee. And at the end of that long coaching tenure, Bob Stoops, the coach he played for and launched his career under, fired him. And that's just kind of the way of the football business sometimes. And I'm sure that was, I mean, if you read in Bob Stoops' memoir, that was a very difficult decision for him to make, but probably worked out in the best interest of both parties. And I think this could too. I mean, T. Martin, if he's not retained by Tennessee staff, which it looks like at this juncture, he probably won't be. And that's not going to be the end of T. Martin and football coaching. It's just we'll send his career in a different direction and ultimately could be the best for all parties concerned.
Well, you addressed the ticklish situation of a program bringing back a former player as a coach and how it could be difficult having to let him go. A real emotional tug of war there, but look at it from the other side too. And I look at like Jay Graham coming back here, T. Martin coming back here. You're coming back to a very unstable program. And the instability hasn't been going on for a couple of years. It's been going on for more than a decade. And so you kind of, in your mind, you may be remembering the good old days, the great old days in T's case, winning a national championship. Jay played on really good teams in the 1990s. Well, this isn't the Tennessee they experienced as players. And their coming back here won't make it that Tennessee, the old Tennessee, the Tennessee they remember. That's what should be going through their heads, too. This is not the Tennessee where I was a player. It's not a top 10 team. It's not a top 25 team. It's a losing program. A lot of instability, and you're taking a chance coming back here. And maybe in the future, former Tennessee players may look at it that way, particularly if T is let go, as we think.
Moving back to Kevin Steele, John, how important or how much of a missed opportunity do you think it would be if Josh Heupel didn't keep Kevin Steele? Is he... You know, Steele's been a defensive coordinator at four different places, pretty well regarded as a coordinator. It didn't work out for him as a head coach at Baylor, but as a coordinator, he's gotten pretty high marks throughout his career. Do you think that should have been like the first thing Josh Heupel did? He gets the job and 2 hours later he just names Kevin Steele as coordinator. Or do you think, you know, there could be something to be said for Heupel going out, bringing in whoever he wants, and that being a better option than keeping Kevin Steele, regardless of Steele's solid track record? How important do you think it is that Josh Heupel keep Kevin Steele?
I'm not sure. He needs to have a philosophical discussion with Kevin Steele, unless he may already have somebody else in mind that he wants to be his defense coordinator. When you run the offense he does, it takes a certain kind of personality to handle the defensive coordinator's job, because you got to be back on. You might be on the field a lot. Your defense might be out there a long time, and you know what happens to tired defenses. I mean, this is such a up tempo offense that Heupel runs. It's all about the offense. You know, there are some teams, some programs that really kind of try to take care of their defense. I think Jeremy Pruitt did that. Now, I don't know how much that impacted the play calling of Jim Chaney, but the offense that Josh Heupel's bringing in here doesn't protect the defense. It leaves it terribly vulnerable. Now, could Kevin Steele handle that? May not have any problem with it, but that's a discussion they need to have. I mean, Kevin Steele's experience, not just defensive coordinator, but as a recruiter, is really solid. Again, though, he's got to look at he needs to really research this. I think it's important that he really researches this, and he's got to feel comfortable with Kevin Steele and how he might fit in with the rest of his club. I don't even know who his defense coordinator was at Central Florida.
Randy Shannon.
Well, Randy Shannon has a pretty good track record too, doesn't he?
Until he got to Central Florida.
That helps make my point.
Right.
They're not kind to defensive coordinators. This offense is not a friend to the defense. Maybe Randy Shannon, I'm sure he can get another job. Maybe he'll be fine not having his offense running a play every 7 or 8 seconds. But those are things that he needs to work out. He's certainly under no obligation to reach out to Kevin Steele. I mean, this deal with Kevin Steele was made before he arrived. And again, it's incumbent upon Tennessee to let Josh Heupel make the decisions. It's his football program now, and he's got to do what's best for him. And Tennessee certainly wants him to be successful.
John, we're about a week into the Josh Heupel era, if you want to call it an era yet, but about a week removed from the hire. I know we offered some thoughts. Our reaction to the hire last week kind of gave a grade. I thought it was interesting. I had a story over the weekend in which I polled Tennessee fans about their reaction to the hire. I used the fans in my text group to get a sense for their reaction, and 1 to 10, the average grade was 6.1. They graded the hire 6.1 out of 10, with 10 being the best. And there were more than 230 fans responded to that poll. So I thought that gave a pretty good sense of where the fan base is at. They maybe don't hate the hire as much as certain people on social media would have you believe, but they're not lit ablaze with excitement, and you know, it's more of a cautious approach, I think, to this hire. But now that we've sat on it for about a week and gotten used to Josh Heupel being the coach of Tennessee, what do you think now? Has your opinion changed at all on what you think about this hire and what you think Heupel might be capable of as Tennessee's coach?
It hasn't really changed, Blake. I mean, I think I gave it about a 6, or maybe I didn't. Maybe I gave it a 5. I don't know.
I can't remember what our numbers were. We gave letter grades.
I think it's important in these podcasts that we move on, that we look ahead, not behind. Right. And what we said last week or 2 weeks earlier, it just doesn't matter anymore. So the more I've read about his offense and I look at what he's done with offense, I feel really good about that. Defense, not so much. Going to have to upgrade the talent on defense to play in the SEC while he's building up this offense. I think there's a pattern. I've been through this so many times covering Tennessee since they change coaches every few years, and I've noticed the fans, the reaction with the fans is pretty much similar from one time to the next. Initially, with some of these hires, there hasn't been a lot of excitement. And then after a few weeks go on, the coach hires a few assistant coaches, all of a sudden the opinion seems to change and fans tend to warm up to the new coach. Why? Because they don't have any choice. He's their new coach. I mean, they want the program to win. And they want to be successful. They hope this is the right coach. They don't know. But to me, it's more of a shift of emotion where you're skeptical initially, maybe cynical about the process. But then once the coach is here and you start thinking about it and you get through the initial reaction, you think, well, this could be pretty good. And so what they do, fans, and just, I think media looks at it in a similar way, fans will look at what's best about this coach. I know as a columnist, I give a coach, I'm much less critical of a first-year coach because he's got to institute his system, his offense, his defense. It's a transitional year. It's difficult for everybody in most cases. So, yeah, I'm more lenient in my critiques, and it would be the same way with Heupel. So we just have to wait and see. But I think the reaction is, in a way, it's kind of predictable.
John, as a columnist, part of your job is to make predictions, and I know you relish that part of your duties. And so in closing here, I'm going to ask you for a prediction, and we may revisit this later. And as you mentioned, there's no sense looking backward. Next time I ask you, feel free to answer in a different way. I
won't. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
That's unnecessarily said. No.
Okay. Okay. Well, as of early February here in 2021, this is your prediction. Jeremy Pruitt after three seasons, he won 45% of his games, 46% of his games through three seasons. Through 3 years of the Josh Heupel era, because I think he'll get at least 3 years, even for Tennessee. I don't think they're going to be making any coaching changes before three seasons. So through three seasons, will Josh Heupel have won more than 46% of his games through 3 years to top Jeremy Pruitt's winning percentage after three seasons?
Boy, if he doesn't, Tennessee's in really big trouble. I mean, that was
the bar set off a low, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that 3-7 season. Yeah, and one thing in Josh Heupel's favor, he won't be playing a 10-game SEC schedule ever unless there's another pandemic. So his schedule next year lightens up, certainly. And the schedule the following year, I don't think there's any big-time non-conference opponents. So, yeah, I think he will surpass that record.
All right, ringing endorsement if there ever was one. we'll talk about it more and look ahead a little bit more to the 2021 season in the weeks to follow, but we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.